Today we'll be talking about chapters 9 all the way to the ending. Specifically, we're going to start off with a quote we found on page 110 and 111.
The sort of example I wanted to cite in the beginning of this podcast was the way companies are able to use percentages of numbers to lie about, you know, certain figures that they make up. So they'll say that there's a 50% pay cut on a worker's $100 wage. That would obviously bring it down to $50. But if they say there's a 50% pay cut that's restored, what they're doing is not giving back the 50% that was taken from the worker's pay cut, but rather taking 50% of 50, which is 25, and adding it to the $50 paycheck, making that 75.
That's interesting, because all throughout the book we've been learning about how to use our different averages, and sometimes statistics fools people, assuming that, you know, with this specific example, you're thinking, okay, well, they're bringing up the budget by 25%. You think you're going to get your money back. Either ways, you're losing a fourth of your money if you're looking at the subtraction-wise rather than the percentage-wise. And I feel like that's how big companies trick you. A lot of people don't realize it because there are small, sudden changes. But you have to know the differences in what you're actually seeing to be able to determine whether or not it's beneficial for you.
I think another technique that a lot of, you know, indexes use, and that they use to persuade a lot of the people who read what they list, is to take prices and manipulate the increase or decrease in that price to favor, you know, one audience over another. So on page 118, the author is talking about the price of bread being five cents a loaf 1 year, and the price of a quart of milk being 20 cents. And then the next, the price of a quart of milk went down to 10 cents, which is a 50% decrease. And then the price of a loaf of bread went up to 10 cents, which is a 100% increase. And they can use those statistics, that 50% and 100%, to, you know, manipulate those numbers, even though it's the same thing.
What I find interesting as well from the information that you just provided is that they don't talk about minimum wage going up, so therefore the prices of food went up or things like that, because now, you know, you can find a loaf of bread for $2.99. Some can be anywhere. I'd say you could find a loaf of bread anywhere from $2 to
$4.
Yeah. And so, and a gallon of milk from anywhere from like $4 to $5.50-ish. So it's more so they don't really specify whether or not there was an increase in pay or anything. They just say milk went up. But they're not saying milk went up because this happened. Maybe, you know, there's a lack of cows and a farm in, I don't know, west of the United States. And so, you know, the prices of milk go up because there's lacks of cows, I guess. So that's another factor. They don't talk, I guess, about the third party factors.
Yeah. But I think what is interesting is that they can use those percentages, those increases and decreases in prices of items, to make people upset about that and to make it seem like that's a bad thing. But in reality, the sum of those two totals is 5 cents cheaper than it was last year. The 10 cents for the loaf of bread and the 10 cents for the quart of milk.
Which takes us to a quote on page 128 that says, "Sometimes it is percentages that are given and raw figures that are missing, and this can be deceptive too." Back to what you were saying, they're using percentages to substitute money or actual, like, the number in itself.
Another quote that I wanted to mention to wrap this all up is on page 131, and it says, "When assaying a statistic, watch out for a switch somewhere between the raw figure and the conclusion. One thing is all too often reported as another." And I think you had a really interesting point that you made with that. Would you like to tell me what that is?
in general, you have to be very aware of what your averages are, your mean, your medial, your median, and mode of overall statistics. And I guess now you also have to look at percentages when looking at all of that data, because you can't just look at one side of the story and assume everything right. is going to fall into that picture. And I think that really wraps up our entire statistics class. And I feel like this book overall wraps up a lot of the things that we learned in statistics, because, you know, we were taught that we were taught what to do at first. And from what we were taught, we had to make our own conclusions and then, you know, assume that this is the right thing because this is our average. And then we took this survey saying, after we did that, are we extremely confident about our answers? And you know me, I would say, yeah, 9. I gave myself a 9 saying I'm completely confident that my answer is right. And you know what? Now if I would take that survey again and answer all of the questions that were on there, I'd probably give myself a 3, because now I know that I have to observe the mean, the median, and the mode in order to draw a conclusion.
The correct way.
Yeah.
And with greater accuracy. And right. I think what we're doing now in statistics with the chi-squared and things like that, and whether you accept or reject the null hypothesis, is really relates back to this quote.
Right.
Thank you for staying with us for our podcast, and we'll see you again next time.
See you.